The name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So there's a lot of waiting going on in our readings today. Farmers waiting for seeds to sprout after working in the field and getting everything ready. The farmer sits back today and waits. John the Baptist waits, probably not in the most comfortable place. He's in prison, but he's still waiting, waiting to find out, is this the Messiah? Is this the one I've been waiting for? Waiting. It shows up time and again this morning, time and again in Scripture. Prophets end up waiting. They speak of truths to come, and they wait to see if people will hear, if they will respond. Psalms call out to God and then wait. Wait to see if God will hear and God will respond. Noah and his family hang out in the ark for a heck of a long time, waiting and waiting for the waters to recede, for land to appear. Israel wanders in the wilderness for 40 years, and eventually, once they realize Moses has no clue where he's going, they start waiting and wondering if they'll ever get to that holy land that has been promised. Disciples gathered in rooms behind locked doors the day after Jesus dies on Good Friday sit and they wait. They don't even know what they wait for, but they wait, waiting. It fills Scripture. It fills life. So, I wonder, what are we waiting for? If waiting fills the Bible, what are we individually waiting for today? Clearly, we are waiting for my sermon to finish, right? We're waiting for that. But there are probably other things we're waiting for as well. Maybe a phone call or a visit. A vacation, retirement, school vacation, Christmas celebrations. What are you waiting for? A better job? A medical diagnosis? A compliment? Baseball season to finally get here? Maybe you're waiting for better sleep. I don't know, but I know that all of us, every person in this room, has something you are probably waiting for. Even if we can't put our finger on it, we are waiting for something. But today we're invited to go a little deeper than baseball season and sermons ending. Today we are invited to think and to wait, not simply for things or for events, but for something that could truly satisfy us, something that could truly connect us with meaning and with purpose and with peace. Today, on this third Sunday in Advent, we are invited to join in with John the Baptist and with Mary, the Mother of God, and wait for God to enter into our lives. That is the invitation that stands before us today. Looking for God is no small thing. It doesn't mean just hoping for a warm, fuzzy feeling or for a fleeting bit of peace in the midst of life. Our opening prayer, our collect, gives us a sense that waiting for God is pretty consequential and impressive. That opening prayer says, "Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. Because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy help and deliver us." We aren't just waiting for a nice feeling. We aren't just waiting for a little bit of peace. We are waiting for the God of creation to break in and to bring hope, to bring life, to bring true life. I believe that at the foundation of all of us, human beings made in the image and the likeness of God, waiting for this God is the very bedrock of who we are meant to be. John the Baptist kind of makes that point this morning in the gospel reading, right? Here is a man who has clearly been pretty committed to his work. He has preached, he's lived in the wilderness, he has given up all the finer things of life, eating locusts and wild honey and dressed in bizarre clothing. This man has been singularly focused, and due to the injustice of his political system, it's all been taken away from him, and he has been thrown into prison for speaking the truth. And so there he is in the midst of prison, waiting, and what does he want to know about? He doesn't want to know if he's going to get another trial. He doesn't want to know if there's a new lawyer showing up to represent his case. He doesn't want to know if there's a chance that he just might get some vengeance against King Herod. No. He wants to know if the rumors about Jesus are true. Is this God's presence entering into the world? That is what John wants to know. Is this the one I have been waiting for? We have been waiting for. Something about God is so profound and so real that even John the Baptist in prison can only focus on God. Nothing else. It's Jesus John has been waiting for. I think this longing, this deep desire for God, which shows up in John the Baptist, is exactly what so many faithful people have felt in their lives of following God. Moments when we have experienced grace, moments when we've experienced beauty and peace, and that moment can be indescribable. St. Augustine, who lived about 400 or 500 years after John the Baptist, wrote these words to try to get to the heart of this desire for God. He writes, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." I think that's what we hear in Mary's song today, that she has found her rest in God. Now, keep in mind where this song takes place, this Magnificat. Jesus has not been born yet. All that's happened is Gabriel has shown up into somebody's life and told her entire life has been blown up. It's not going to be the way she expected. Surprise, you're unmarried and you have a baby coming. Surprise. Usually I would not expect a song of praise to come after words like that. But Mary knows that there is something so real about this announcement, so true and so good, that she bursts forth with praise even before that child has started moving in her womb. He hasn't been born yet. He hasn't healed yet. He hasn't taught yet. He hasn't loved yet. He hasn't died yet. He hasn't risen from the dead yet. He is simply a little zygote inside Mary. And yet she is overwhelmed. Because God has come to her. Because God has entered into her. Because God is with her. And that is what her soul has waited for all her life long. God literally stirring inside her womb. Mary's faith, her wisdom, opened her enough to understand what she was waiting for and to recognize that it had come, God with her. So what about us? We're not married. None of you are dressed in really weird clothing. I mean, I am, but it's at least not John the Baptist clothing, right? None of us are John the Baptist or Mary, the mother of God. We aren't St. Augustine waxing poetically about the beauty and the wonder of God. No, we are simply people living in the year 2019, right here in Western Massachusetts, trying to do the best we can to live our lives, right? What does all this waiting have to do with us? Well, no matter who we are, the fact is we are known by God, we are claimed by God in the waters of baptism, and every day, just like John, just like Mary, and just like Augustine, we are invited by God to let God be with us, to wait with joy and expectation for God's presence to show up here, now, not in some far-off moment, but in real life. That is what we are waiting for. So close your eyes for a moment. Be still. And invite that God made known to Mary, that God made known to John, to enter a little more fully into your life. Let that presence fill you with hope, with joy, with light. I invite you this week to commit yourselves to doing the work of making space to wait for God. Make space to pray, to find time for contemplation, to read Scripture, maybe those passages of Scripture in our Advent meditation booklets. Make space to wait for God. Mary and John and St. Augustine and countless others know the truth. When we wait and we look for God, God is made known to us. Our souls were made for this. So let us wait and watch and prepare the way in our own lives so that the light would shine. Amen.